Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website, which is www.theorganicview.com. If you have any questions or would like to connect with us, you can simply post a question on our wall on Facebook, send us a tweet to @TheOrganicView, or contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. Today's show is sponsored by Eden Foods, one of the most trusted names in certified organic clean foods. Listeners of the Organic View Radio Show can receive 20% off any regularly priced items, excluding cases. Simply enter the coupon code ORGVIEW when prompted during checkout. That's ORGVIEW. For more special offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. On today's show, award-winning author J.H. Soda is going to talk about his best-selling book, True Tales, which is based upon his own real-life experiences with animals. So I would like to welcome to the show John Soda. John, good afternoon, and welcome to the show.
Hi, June. Great to be here. Always good to talk to you.
Always great to talk to you, too, John. For people that are not familiar with your work, could you share a little bit about yourself as well as some of the awards that you've received?
Yeah, that's fine. One of the things that is really kind of fascinating is I actually didn't start writing until about 5 years ago. I had a massive heart attack where I actually died and came back. And on my bucket list was to actually start writing some books. My first book was a book about all of my animal experiences since the age of two called True Tales. And it was the first book I ever wrote, and out of the chute, I won two national book awards with that, which then prompted me to actually write some other books, which I've been writing. I think I have now about 9 books and about 15 short stories, and pretty much all of them are available on Kindle and in paperback through Amazon, things like that. So it was quite something that to start out at my age. I'm not that old, but at my age, and actually start writing and achieve some very positive result with that.
Thank you. And is it true also that you donate the profits to charity?
I mean, the thing is that with my books, that book in particular is about my gifts, and I believe all gifts are God-given, and so wherever I can contribute and turn things back into different support organizations, charity organizations, things like that, that's what I do, because, for example, I've met a lot of people who have courses and seminars and certificates that you can get when you've learned how to whisper or talk to an animal. And I think that's taking advantage of the situation, because for me it's a God-given gift, and that's an indicator that what's going on there.
Yeah.
Do you really have it or don't you have it? It's like, are you, and what's your purpose in it? It's like there are a lot of people that say, you know, you can make money off of anything, but I've always just seen it as a gift, so why make money off of it when it was a gift given to me?
Have you met other animal communicators that genuinely do help animals?
Oh, yes. One I'll mention is Laura Lassiter. She is an extremely gifted animal communicator and very brilliant person in terms of her knowledge of medicine, all different types of things. And I met her, and she's a real McCoy. I really have a lot of respect for her, and I know that she's, again, very talented. I've met some other ones that I think the interesting thing for me is where I see that they begin to go in different routes other than the real path is that they start to anthropomorphize. That means they actually start attributing names that the animals have given themselves, like Trixie or Pudgy or things like that. And you go, no, animals don't really call themselves that. In fact, it's a completely different thing. So I think the point is that I'll mention Laura because I really have a tremendous amount of respect for her, and I've actually seen her at work and seen what she does, and she's a pretty incredible lady.
Yes, I agree. Laura has also been a featured guest on The Organic View, and she's someone that I know personally because of my interviews with her, and she is definitely the real McCoy. Now, in regards to people that are curious about what it's like to be an animal communicator, can you share a little bit about what it's like? I mean, do the animals talk to you? Like, there was a show called Mr. Ed, the talking horse. Is that what happens, or what exactly does happen? And you know, do the animals keep this whole conversation going with you? Do they bug you in the middle of the night? Can you just share a little bit about that?
Sure. One of the things that's interesting is that usually animals don't, they're in a totally different zone. They're in a survival zone. And so if they notice that you're actually speaking with them, the conversations will be very short, to the point, and they're off and running doing something else, because in most cases, most animals are in a survival mode, as I've mentioned. They're worried about predators. They're worried about what's going on. They're worrying about the worrying about a lot of very, very, very basic things. They're not sitting there talking about, if you're a New York Yankees fan, the Yankees game or the Dodgers game, and that they're disappointed the Dodgers didn't make it to the World Series. They don't talk about those things because that's not where they're at. They're really just there. And I think the big thing is that there'll be times, like, for example, for me, where I'll be walking through someplace and it's not like they're moving their lips like Mr. Ed. I'll get something like a radio transmission. It's like a wavelength, and all of a sudden you'll hear this. I actually hear a voice, and I have to sometimes turn around because the voice is so clear. It's like feminine or it's masculine, and I think somebody's talking to me, and then I'll look around. There's nobody there, and I'll look down, and I'll squirrel or a gull or something like that, and when it first began, I thought it was a natural thing because it occurred to me when I was about 2 years old.
When did you discover that this was something unique about yourself and not everybody could do this?
Well, I think this goes back to the beginning of my book, True Tales, when I was about 2 years old, and I was sitting under a bush very upset that I couldn't play with my sisters. And all of a sudden I heard this voice say, well, I'll be your friend. And I'm looking around thinking that there's some other kid next to me in the bushes, and I'm looking around, and I don't see anybody. And I look up, and I see this little bird, a sparrow, and looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And, of course, when you're 2 years old, you don't think anything of those types of situations. And he was communicating to me mentally, and I just communicated back the same way that I received it. And we had this conversation to the point where he wanted to see my nest, you know, where I lived, you know. And so I stood up, and he actually hopped on my finger, and we walked out from underneath the bush. And here my sisters are out sliding on a slide that my dad had built, and they see me walking with this wild bird on my finger, two-year-old, up into our house, and they come running after me. And followed me into the house, and the bird followed me into the house, never came off my finger. And my mom, it's all in the book, but then ended up walking up, and he flew off, and I went off to do my thing. And I think the big thing was is that I thought that that was pretty normal. And I think that, again, as a two-year-old, you think everybody can do that. And I think the second time that it happened to me, when my mom saw a giant blue-bellied lizard out in the backyard on a little woodpile, she's a nature lover herself, and she basically said to my sisters and I, oh, come look at the big blue-bellied lizard out here. And so we poked our head out there, and there's this giant lizard. They're like a fence lizard, and they have this brilliant blue underbelly. And he was just sitting on top of the thing like a king of the mountain. And my mom says, well, why don't you go take some lettuce to Mr. Lizard, John? He'll probably eat it. And I looked at the lizard, and all of a sudden I got this voice going, I don't eat lettuce, kid. I eat insects. And I kind of blinked for a second. I looked up Mom. I said, Mom, he doesn't eat lettuce or cheese. He eats insects. And she looked at me. she kind of looked at me and looked over at the wood pile and looked at me, and she says, well, okay, well, we don't have any insects, so just tell him he's on his own. So I looked back at him and communicated just like the bird, and I said, okay, you're on your own. And with that, as soon as I said that, the lizard darted off into the woodpile, and everybody kind of looked at me shocked, you know? And that was when I kind of realized I was a little different than most people. And so I was very fortunate to have a mother who accepted me for
That is such a great story, John. Now, True Tales has actually helped open the doors for you as far as your work as an animal advocate. Can you share a little bit about that with our audience?
Well, yes, June. I mean, I've always loved animals, and I help with a lot of different organizations and do what I can. Of course, I don't go in saying that I'm an animal communicator because, you know, some people will look at you and go, oh, yeah, okay. But I just believe that there's a lot of things that we need to take for granted. We are stewards of this planet. Although we have natural resources and animals and things like the balance is very, very important to maintain, and especially where animals are concerned, and especially one particular part in my book is about whales, because I've had direct communication with whales. The interesting thing is that I haven't necessarily just had experiences with birds or whales. I've had it with a variety of different things. And the way I wrote the book was basically not just I did this, I did that, but situations that involved other people who actually experienced what I experienced and saw the changes in the animals that I saw and saw the reactions of the animals as I saw them, to give it that credibility, because so many people say, oh, I can do this and I can do that, and it's like, great, what else? And you kind of look the other, okay, good, well, I'll just step back a few feet, make sure I have some running distance or whatever like that. And so it's just one of those things. But it really opened my mind up to the fact that we need to care about animals and really do what we can in the areas that we can help to care for them and to be good stewards.
Thank you. So what do you hope your readers learn from your own experiences in True Tales?
That's a good question, June. I think the interesting thing is that anybody's ever read my book, most people think that, well, animals can't talk, or they don't get this, or they don't hear that, or whatever. And yet by the end of the book, I've had so many people come up to me and they say, you know, I had this cat. Every time I thought, you know, blithy below, he would go over and he'd bring this over to me, or my dog, or I would just think something, and my dog would go get the newspaper. Darndest thing. And I said, well, you see, you were communicating to him. And I think what it did is it opened up the reality that we all have these abilities. We've just closed them off throughout our lives with whatever occurs to us and whatever. When that communication is there, it's always been there. It's just that you have to be open to it, and it actually gives you a lot more respect for life, and that how vast and how wonderful and how sometimes mysterious life can be.
Thank you. I know personally I've done over 1,000 interviews since the launch of the Organic View, and I've worked with a number of animal communicators. And for me personally, what I've learned is that other beings may not speak the same language that I do, but through body language, expressions, what have you, you can communicate in other ways and learn how to not only coexist, but be respectful and considerate of each other. So, John, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Could you please share with our audience your website and also talk a little bit about some of the other books that you've published?
Sure. The website is www.jhsoder.com. My whale site is called thewhalepeople.com. And the books I've written, of course, is True Tales and then In the Light, which is a follow-up on that. And then there's the next book about my spiritual experiences with ghosts, and a real ghost story called Hattie's in Our Closet. And then I have a whole science fiction series called Element 238 and a bunch of short stories. Again, I've won about 7 National Book Awards and continuing to work on that and just get a lot of good stories out there and things that I'm sure people are interested in.
And that they definitely are, especially since you've sold so many books and you write about something that nobody really has taken the time to write about in a way that people from all corners of the earth can truly relate to. John, it has been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks.
And I hope to have you come back very soon.
Okay, great. Great talking with you. Have a great day.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.